We're having a special class on Shir HaShirim. It's often called the Song of Songs. And when we learn Shir HaShirim, so if one were to read the text literally, so it's a very graphic story. It's very graphic descriptions about the fondness that exists between a man and a woman. Our tradition is that all the songs are holy, but the Song of Songs is the holiest of the holy. And that the message of Shir HaShirim is about the bond between Hashem and the Jewish people. And that this song was written with heavenly inspiration, what's called Ruach HaKodesh. And it actually describes the history that has befallen the Jewish people. The exiles, the return to Israel, the destructions, the rebuilding. Our tradition is that Shlomo HaMelech wrote this song with an extraordinary inspiration from above in understanding where the Jewish people were headed. And as Rashi writes in his introduction to Shir HaShirim, the people and the people of Israel in their time of exile and destruction would bemoan their state and recall their better state. The love that was expressed when we were the chosen nation and it was revealed we were the chosen nation. The feeling that the Navi Hosea says, Eilecha ve'ashuva el ishi arishon, I wish I could go back to my first husband, to our ancient relationship, ki tov li az me'ata, I was much better off then than now. And the Jewish people will try to remember how good it was when things were good between us and Hashem. And so this book describes the woman who is thinking back to how good her relationship was. And in this book she says, you know, I wasn't right. And in the book of Shir HaShirim, Shlomo is also recounting how the beloved, the man, is really pained that she is suffering. And he also remembers how good she was and why he loved her initially. And he also indicates that their bond is eternal. They are still married. He is still coming back together. And so Rashi interprets this song as the song of the nation in exile. We are recounting what happened and wishing we were back in that great state. This is Rashi's explanation of Shir HaShirim. Now we begin. Would you like me to read it with a traditional tune? Okay. Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo. Shir, the song, HaShirim, of all songs, that was said to Shlomo. Our tradition is that whenever it says the word Shlomo in the Song of Songs, it's a reference to Hashem. And it means the king who is master of peace. Melech Shashalom Shelo. So, this is the greatest of songs that the Jewish people have sung towards their creator. And Rabbi Akiva says, the world wasn't as worthy as the day in which Shir HaShirim was given to the Jewish people, that it is the Holy of Holies. Also, all the writings, all Ksuvim are Kodesh, and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah said, a king gives a pile of flour to the baker, and he says, I want you to give me so much plain bread and so much refined bread and so much, this is how I want you to sift the flour, and then I want you to make me one roll that is going to be perfect, that's going to be refined, that's going to be sifted, and it's going to be the best. That's what the Song of Songs is. It is all the awe of heaven and the acceptance of Hashem being our king. That is the theme of the book we're about to read. Yishakeni minishikot pihu. And so the Jewish people, as they're exiled, they say, I wish I were back in that relationship where he would kiss me on my mouth, where we were so close. Kitovim dodecha miyayin. Because being close to Hashem is better for us than any wine, than any party. We would much rather be close to Hashem. And so when Hashem gave us the Torah, we experienced a closeness that was unique. Hashem spoke to us face to face, so to speak. And so till today, we look back and say that was an exceptional experience Hashem gave us. In all of history, such a thing never happened. And so Hashem says, I was close to you then. And we say, yes, we remember how close you were to us. And we look back at that fondly and say, we wish we would have that again. And so we are promised that ultimately Hashem will reveal himself again and reveal the secrets, the reasons behind the Torah. Today, we have a Torah that we have a limited understanding in. But we anticipate a time where Hashem will again come close to us, as he did when he gave us the Torah, and reveal to us the depths of the Torah that we do not know. L'reyach shemanecha tovim, shemen tuhak shemecha, al kein alamot ahivucham. You smell good like fine oil. So when we want to say someone has a great reputation, we say they're like great oil. Great oil is called shemen turak. Shemen turak means oil that is poured. If you have a good perfume and it's in a bottle, you don't smell it. But if you pour it from bottle to bottle, then some of the smell drifts and you get the great smell. So you, Hashem, are called shemen turak. You're like oil that people wish someone would pour some of it so they could enjoy its smell. And so too, you, the Rabbono Shel Olam, have the world at large, when they saw what you did in Egypt, so then everyone was impressed. Everyone was moved. L'reach shemanecha tovim. Your oils have the best smells, Hashem. Again, the metaphor is, your reputation was the best when the world saw what you had done. Al kein alamot ahivucha. And that's why there were all kinds of girls that liked you and wanted to connect with you, because of your great smelling oils, which is a metaphor for your great reputation. And that's why so many people came and converted. If it was Yisro, who had a position of power, if it was Rachav, who had a position of fame, we find that people wanted to join. Why did they want to join? As Rachav recounts, everyone's heard how amazing Hashem is. Everyone's heard how Hashem controls the heaven and the earth. That's the great reputation that Shlomo is describing that came out at this time of closeness, that Hashem was close to us. Moshcheini acharecha narutza. You indicated that you wanted me to follow, and I initiated and said, I'll run. Moshcheini, you gave indication that you want to pull me with you to the desert, and I said, acharecha narutza, I'll run after you. I'm fully prepared to be your wife. We are fully prepared to be your people. Hevi ani hamelech chadarav. The king brought me into his private room. He said, now you're going to be my wife, and nagila venismecha bach. Till today, I rejoice at the memories of that wedding that we had. Nazkira dodecha miyayin. Till today, I prefer thinking about the love we had in the past between Hashem and the Jewish people, and that's more pleasurable to me than any party, than any happiness. Meisharim ahivucha. And my love for you is a love that is meisharim. It is a flowing love. It is straight. In other words, sometimes there is a love that has a lot of complications. That's the love we're familiar with. But there's a love that does not have complications, that come what may, that love is there, and it's very direct. I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but there comes a time where a child needs to be punished, or a child needs to be reprimanded, or a child needs to be told no. And there are children that grow up until that point, and when that point happens, you see in their eyes the disappointment, the shock. How could you do that? I remember one of the kids, the first time I said no, and the kid understood that I'm not going to explain to them why, I just said no. They were like, but don't you want me to have it? What does that mean, no? It's like total shock. So there you see that. A child doesn't do anything with evil intent in the younger years. There's just straight love, and they expect straight love. There you can see that. Now, we had this love at the time because Hashem was telling us, come out to the desert. What normal people take their children and go out in the desert? Hashem didn't tell us in advance you'll have man. Hashem didn't say, don't worry, everything will be all right. I'll give you all the food you need. Hashem said, I'm taking you out. Everything will be all right. How so? Under normal circumstances, you ask a few questions. Rabbi Moshe, could you explain to us, please, what we're going to eat all that time in the desert? Rabbi Moshe, how will we deal with all the enemies like Amalek or the Egyptians chasing after us? No, we gave faith and we went. Now, that's a straight love. That's a trust. And Hashem brought us into His room, so to speak. Hashem gave us those miraculous clouds. And so, as bad as things could have been, they suddenly became amazing. Until today, even though things are difficult, we look back and we say, that was an amazing period in our relationship with Hashem. We remember how Hashem revealed His love, and in correlation with our dedication, Hashem gave us extraordinary miracles to take care of us. So that is the opening chapter of She'er Shirim. Pasuk Aleph through Dalet describes where we were, and that our relationship is more important to us than any parties, and how we fondly look back at the wonderful relationship we had. And that concludes the first section, chapter 1, so to speak. Now we move on. The Jewish people now speak about their current state. Shechora ani v'nava. Even though I have been scorched by the sun, I have still retained my beauty. Binot Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem. I still have my figure. I still have everything. I have the potential to do what's right. The people of Israel say the sun can burn a person. Well, we've been burnt by our inappropriate behavior. However, I have what to say for myself. My forefathers are still the forefathers who did what was right. I still have things to look back on and say, I did something right. I might have done something wrong. Yes, we did the golden calf. But I still did something right. I accepted the Torah. And so the Jewish people turn to the nations around and calls out to them, the daughters of Jerusalem. Because in the prophet Yechezkel, it's described that Jerusalem will grow to Damascus, and then the nations around will become like city-states of Jerusalem. They will become secondary. They will become like the daughters of Jerusalem. And so the people of Israel turn to the daughters of Jerusalem, which are the nations around, and says, although I have what to be embarrassed about, the things I've done wrong, I have what to be proud about, the things that I've done right. I am like the tents of those who travel through the desert, and their tents turn black from the soot, from the dirt. But I am also like the beautiful draperies of King Solomon. Ah, I've been blackened, I've turned dirty over time. Don't look down at me that I've filthied my behavior. Even though the sun has burnt me, don't look at that, because I can still make it back. I can still be like the draperies of King Solomon. I have it in me. And so, Bnei imini charuvi, those who were the daughters of my mother, those were the Egyptians who grew up in our midst. They said they wanted to join us when we left Mitzrayim. Nicharuvi, they caused me to fall. They got Hashem's anger against me because they were the ones who goaded me on to transgress. Every time the Jewish people fell, the instigators were those Erev Rav who came along. Samuni notera etakeramim. They convinced me. They put me responsible for watching the vineyards. In other words, they goaded me to leave Kalmi Sheli lo natalti, to leave my own vineyard and watch their vineyards. And so that's where I got so dirtied, by watching their vineyards. And this is a metaphor for the concept that our vineyard is keeping the Torah, and those in our midst convince us to go and follow their paganistic ways, if it's the golden calf or other transgressions. And so the song is saying, yes, we've done something wrong, but we've had instigators, Bnei Imi, those who came with me out of Egypt, they're the ones who instigated all of this, and I'm still getting back. I'm going to make it back.
They don't need the Geri.
No, they're talking about the Erev Rav. Hagid Dalim. So this was, so to speak, song two. Song one is, I remember my beautiful past. Song two is, I've had my falls, but I am intrinsically good, and I'm going to make it back. And now, Hashem turns to the Jewish people. I'm sorry, we turn to Hashem. After we've spoken to the nations, we turn to Hashem and we say like this. Tell me, please. Hagidalim she'ava nafshi, you who I love, the Jewish people say to Hashem, Echa tirei, how can you shepherd your sheep among the wolves? How come you're letting us be out here in this exile among so many enemies? Echa tarbitz batzahorayim, how do you take your sheep out in the middle of the day when the sun is beating down? That's when the sheep look for shade. How come you're taking your sheep out to graze in the middle of the day when the sun is beating down? How come you're taking us to these nations where they're beating down upon us? Shalama eye keotia. Why should I be like a person in mourning, who wraps themselves around their face as a sign of mourning? Al edrei chaverecha. Why should I be mourning next to the sheep of your friends? In other words, there are other shepherds, and their sheep are not suffering like us. In other words, there are other nations, and the other nations are not suffering like us. Shalama eheye. Why should I be ke'oteya, like someone in mourning? It's not your honor. It's not respectful to you. I represent you in this world. Why should I look like this? The Jewish people says to Hashem. And so the shepherd Hashem answers them. And the shepherd says, oh, don't blame me. You guys have to make it back. And if you think the key is by saying, why are we different? Well, why don't you take steps to come back? Ah, you don't know how to come back? You want to know how to return? I'll tell you how. If you're not sure how to take your sheep, you most beautiful of women, see, he's speaking to the Jewish people, if you feel that the shepherd has left you to your own, and you have to figure out the path, here's the path. If you look at the footsteps in the sand, if you follow the traces of the other sheep, then you'll know, you'll know where to shepherd your sheep. Al mishkenot haroim, you will be able to shepherd them where the shepherds find a solace, a good place to shepherd their sheep. And so the Ribbon Shalom says to us, why don't you look at your forefathers? You want to know how to take care of your children. Your children shouldn't get lost. Look at your forefathers. They accepted the Torah and they kept it. Go in their footsteps, and then you'll be able to watch your sheep the way you'd like. We're always asking, how do we make it back to Israel? You want to know how to make it back? Go in the way of your forefathers. And then you'll be able to watch your sheep on Mishkenot Aroim, in the places where shepherds are comfortable watching their sheep. New section. לסוסתי ברכבי פרום. דימיתיך רעייתי. I silenced you, my beloved, when I took my chariots, my horse, out to deal with Pharaoh's chariots. Dimitich Rayati, that's where I silenced you, or that's where I made it known that you are my beloved. It's either from the word Dimayon, to show comparison, or Domem, to be silent. Navu Lechayayich Batorim, over there, I beautified your cheeks with jewelry that was triangular. That's Torim. Tor is triangular jewelry. Sambarech bacharuzim, and your neck also had jewelry on it. You collected the loot from the sea. Torei zahav naselach im nekudot hakasef. We decided in the heavenly court, says Hashem, that Pharaoh would give chase with all his jewelry. And so you had the jewelry you had taken out of Egypt, and now it was decided in heaven that Pharaoh would be judged again here, and he would lose even more wealth than you had taken initially. And that's the idea, that you got gold jewelry together with your silver jewelry. You had silver jewelry, that's a metaphor for the jewelry they had taken out of Egypt when they left on their own. And then the jewelry that Pharaoh had brought with him to battle, that was even more. That was like gold compared to silver. Ad sheh hamelech bimsibo nirdi natan recho. The Jewish people answer Hashem, and they say, it's true. You were so good to us. You were so kind to us. And yet, even as you were celebrating our marriage, we turned sour. Nerd is a type of perfume. Nirdi, my perfume, natan recho, became sour, became spoiled. But my beloved, he became like a tziror, like a binding of mor, Mor is musk. It's a very expensive perfume. And so, even though we destroyed our own perfume, we destroyed the great relationship we had with Hashem when we did the golden calf. Hashem said, here, I have a good perfume for you instead. Hashem said, I have a solution for you. Build the Mishkan for me. So Hashem says, I will give you a solution that you will take the gold of the Mishkan, and that will atone for the gold you donated for the golden calf. And so the Jewish people describe how Hashem was the beloved who said, I will give you a better perfume, Tziror. A knot of Hamor, this perfume Mor, that was Dodi Li, my beloved was for me, Bein Shaddai Yalin. And Hashem said, I will nonetheless rest between your breasts, which is really a reference to the two pillars, the two poles of the Aron, that it says they would protrude through the curtain. And they took on the shape of the chest of a woman. So that's a reference to Hashem saying, I retain my love for you. Even though you have been unfaithful to me, Hashem says, I remain faithful to you. And so, Bein Shaddai Yalin is, literally it means he rests in an intimate place. Figuratively, our tradition is that this is a reference to the idea that Hashem's voice came out from the Holy of Holies, and it, when you looked at the Holy of Holies, you could see the protrusion of those two poles in the curtains. Eshkol HaKofir Dodi Lin. My beloved is like a cluster of good perfume that's called Kofir. Becharmei Ein Gedi. And he is like that great perfume that can be collected from the orchards of Ein Gedi. What's unique about the orchards of Ein Gedi? That they produce fruits 4 or 5 times a year. And so too we say, Hashem kept giving us solutions. We kept making mistakes. It's as though our perfume kept turning bad, and Hashem kept saying, I'll give you a new solution. Every time we made mistakes, every time we transgressed, Hashem came up with another good solution for us. That's the idea that Hashem was unto us like this perfume called Kofir, which grows in Ein Gedi, that it grows numerous times a year. Hashem numerous times gave us solutions for where we messed up. We were very embarrassed. We knew we had transgressed. And so Hashem sent us words of encouragement. And Hashem sent us Moshe to tell us, I've forgiven you on Yom Kippur. And so even though we felt very bad about what we had done, we weren't sure where our relationship was holding. And Hashem said to us, Hinach yafa rayati. You are so beautiful, my beloved. Hinach yafa einaych yonim. Your eyes are like the eyes of the dove. Hashem says to us, you have the most beautiful eyes. The eyes indicate the whole person. And so our sages say, if a kala has disgusting eyes, you have to check out what's wrong with her. But if a kala has beautiful eyes, then you don't have to check out anything. And that's what Hashem says, I've forgiven you, the Jewish people, and you are again beautiful in your declaration of Naseh, you're again beautiful in your declaration of Nishma, you're again beautiful with the actions of your forefathers, and you're again beautiful in your own actions. Why? Einayich yonim. Because you still have eyes like the dove. The dove, when it recognizes its partner, it doesn't let go. Doves hold on to their partner. They insist that their partner be faithful. And so too, you had amongst you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, you had amongst you those tzaddikim who were like doves. They were faithful to me. And so even though the Jewish people had transgressed with the golden calf, you still had the tribe of Levi who was faithful. And so that's the idea that you have eyes that are beautiful like doves. And so the Jewish people respond to Hashem and say, Hinecha yafeh dodi afnaim. My beloved, you are the one who's beautiful. You are the one who is so pleasant that you're willing to forgive our open transgressions, and you're willing to still connect us. You're willing to have your presence in our midst with the Mishkan. Af arseinu hanana. And because you have been so pleasant to us, so our bed, arseinu, our bed, is ra'anana. It is lush, it is vibrant, it is alive. So what's the bed? The bed is the Mishkan. So to speak, that's the place, just like the bedroom is the private place where a couple connects, so too the Mishkan is the private place where Hashem connects with us. So that's the idea that our bed is lush. So the idea is also a euphemism for the idea of the future generations. Arseinu ra'anana, our future generations continue to be faithful to you, Hashem. So speaking about the bed being lush, being vibrant, being fresh, is a way of saying our future generation, our continuation, is also lush and fresh. Korot bateinu arazim. The walls of our house are the beautiful cedar wood. That's a reference to the Mishkan. The house that connects the Jewish people and Hashem is the Mishkan. Raiteinu berotim. And so, the other components of the house are also berotim, are also of the finest trees. And that could be a reference to our students, not only our children, or it's not clear. Rashi wasn't sure what the word rahitenu means. Okay, so we finished this section. Now the Jewish people make a declaration. The Jewish people say, Hashem created a lush and vibrant bed, a lush and vibrant connection between Him and us. Now we say, Ani chavatzel et hasharon, I am the rose of the valley. Shoshana atahamakim, I am the rose that is in the valley between the mountains, and so I always get the wetness of the mountains. All the wetness comes down, and I am lush, I am filled with life. And so the Jewish people say, we continue being vibrant and connected to Hashem. Kishoshana be'inachochim, just as the rose stands with thorns all around it. Kein rayati ben habanot. So Hashem says, is my beloved, the Jewish people, amongst other girls, because other girls are unfaithful. The other nations are paganistic, and they constantly invite her to join them. And she is faithful. She is like the rose among the thorns. The thorns, they prick. They're not positive. So the nations pursue paganistic religions, and they keep enticing the Jews to join them. But they retain their status of being that faithful rose. And so Hashem complimented us. We return the compliment and say, Kitapuach batzei hayar, just like an apple tree or an esrog tree among other trees that don't produce fruits in the forest, kein dodi ben habanim, so too my beloved is among young men. The other nations, they worship a pagan god that produces nothing. And so they're like the trees of the forest that don't produce. But the the tapuach, so that's an apple or a citron tree, and that gives you wonderful fruit. If people need shade, no one wants to go sit under the tapuach tree. It has fruits, but it has no shade. However, the Jewish people said, I want to connect to Hashem. The nations were offered the Torah, and none of them were interested. We were interested. And that's what the continuation of the pasuk says, even though a tapuach tree, which maybe we'll say is a citron tree, is an esrog tree, it doesn't offer a lot of shade. No one wants to sit in its shade. However, we did. And that's what the pasuk says, Bitzilo chimati v'yashavti. I desired his shade, and I sat in his shade. Ufilyo matok lechiki, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Heviani el beit ayin. He brought me, my beloved, to the house of wine. What's the house of wine? That's the Ohel Moed, where Hashem gave us the details of the Torah. V'diglo alai ahava, and I love connecting with him. Diglo, the word degel means flag, because the word degel means to unite. You unite around the flag. So diglo, his unification with me, is alai ahava. I love it. I still remember. I look back at our connection with Hashem, and I am fond of it. What's our connection to Hashem? Beit Hayayin, the Torah. The Jewish people are fond of Torah. It's built into us. And so the pasuk says, Hashem brought me to his house of wine, so to speak. Hashem gave me his Torah. V'diglo alai ahava. And his connection with me is something I love. Samechuni ba'ashishot, rapiduni ba'tapuchim. Support me, says the Jewish people. Bring me clusters of grapes. Bring me clean flour. Bring me around my bed etrogim. Make the place smell good. I am ill, but I'm not physically ill. I am lovesick. Kicholat ahava ani, because I am sick with desire that he should love me again. Here I am out in exile, and I wish for the revelation of Hashem's love. Simolotachat leroshi, I remember fondly how in the desert it was as though his left hand was under my head. Vimino techabekeni, and his right hand hugged me. And that's a reference to the idea that Hashem would have his representation, his cloud, go 3 days' journey in advance of where we would travel to ensure that when we got there, the place was flat and comfortable. And wherever we reached, the man would fall, the slav would come out, we'd have meat and bread, and all of this Hashem prepared for me. Look at how Hashem took care of me even in the desert. And that's the metaphor of having one hand support the head, the other hand hugging. Simolo tachat l'roshi, his left hand was ahead of me in the desert. Vimino techabekeni, and his right hand hugged me and supported me. That's the idea that wherever we camped, so Hashem would make the man and the slav come. Hishbati etchem, I make you promise, you nations, binot Yerushalayim bitzvaot o beilot hasadeh. I'm warning you that you will ultimately find yourself like the wild animals of the field. Right now you think you're on top, but you should know the time will come where Hashem will reveal that he's connected to us. And I'm warning you, Im ta'iru v'im t'oreru et ahava ad shetechpatz. If you try to annul the love, the affection, the connection that exists between me and my beloved, between the Jewish people and Hashem, ad shetechpatz, you should know that all along there is still that desire between us. I still desire my connection with Hashem. He still desires the connection with me. I'm warning you, im ta'iru, if you will create enmity, if you will try to get me to hate him, ve'im te'oreru, if you will try to arouse within me to breach my connection with Hashem, that's not going to work.
Gift
of the And now we say, okay, we described from our connection with Hashem all the way to our exile now, and that we still retain that relationship and that desire to reconnect to Hashem. Now we go back and say, let me go back to what I told you in short in the past. Let me tell to you in greater detail now. You know what happened when we were in Egypt? Kol dodi hine zebam. When Hashem came, I heard him. I heard my beloved coming unexpectedly. Medaleg ale harim, mekapet ala gevaot, skipping over the mountains, skipping over the hilltops. We didn't expect Hashem to appear so early. We were expecting to be in Egypt another 190 years. Only 210 years passed. And suddenly, kol dodi hine zebam. I heard the sound of my beloved. He's showing up early. My beloved is like a deer who is running in the hilltops. Or like a young ram. I thought that for a long time I would sit all alone. And he let me know that he's been watching from behind the walls. He's been peeking through the crevices. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a message to the Jewish people. Ra'o ra'iti. The Ribbon Shalom says, see, I have seen. Et oni ami asher b'mitzrayim. I've been watching them. I know they're suffering. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, Hashem says, I've been watching and I want to take you out. Ana dodi ve'amar li. My beloved raised his voice and said to me through Moshe, Kumi lach, ra'ayati yafati ulchi lach. My beloved, it's time to get up. I'm going to take you out of here. And you will go. Ki hinei hasita vavar. You should know that it's, we will first read the, we will first read and translate the literal meaning of the story, and then we'll come back and explain the metaphor. So I'll quickly read the story and then the metaphor. So the beloved shows up and says, my beautiful one, come with me. It's a great season to go out together. It's no longer raining. The rain has passed. The winter's passed. Hanitzanim niru va'aretz. Things are starting to blossom. It's a beautiful time. Eit hazamir higia. The birds are chirping. Ve'kolato nishma be'artzeinu. And you could hear young birds whistling and singing in this time. Hate'ina chaneta fageha. The fig tree, now its fruits are starting to be ripe and delicious. The grapevines, they're starting to blossom. You can start seeing the grape fruits. That's called simadar, when the flower falls and you see the fruits. And they're giving a great smell. Get up, my beloved, and go. It's time to go. So that's the description of how Hashem approached us in Egypt, saying, it's a beautiful time, come with me. What is the metaphor referring to? Anadodi, my beloved said to me, ve'amarli, and he said to me. Why twice? Once Hashem sent Aaron and said, stop doing avodah zarah, I want to take you out of there. The Jewish people didn't listen. Hashem sent Moshe and said, whatever, we're going. Even if they didn't stop their paganistic ways at that time. Hashem says, Kumi lach, I want you to get up. Get ready. Go borrow things from the Egyptians. You think it's still winter? You think you're still in the middle of the 400 years? I got news for you. God calculates the 400 years differently. They're up. Hageshim chalaf alachlo. The rain has passed. The 86 years that you have been suffering now, they have passed. What's 86 years? So it says in the Medrash Rabbah here and also in the Seder Olam Rabbah that 86 years before Moshe showed up on the scene, things got really bad. And then Amram had a daughter. They were so bad, they named the daughter Miriam, bitter. The word Miriam comes from the word mar, Miriam was 86 years old. She was Moshe and Aaron's big sister. So when Miriam was born, a new era in the Jewish servitude began. Things became so bitter, much worse than they had been before. And that's what he's saying, the reign has passed, that era has passed. Hanitzanim niru v'aretz, the fruits are blossoming. Your two leaders, Moshe and Aaron, are blossoming. Etaz amir igia, the time has come for the Jewish people to give their song by the sea. V'kol ato, and the sound of the sound that it's time for you to leave Egypt, or the sound of the great tour guide, that's the Ribon Shel Olam, who's going to tour you and guide you up to Israel, is ready. The figs have blossomed. In other words, Hashem says, I want you in Israel picking those first fruits. V'agifanim simadar, your grapes are already starting to blossom, the flowers falling and the fruits are recognizable. Hashem says, I want you in Israel already sacrificing and bringing the libations of wine. Another interpretation is, your grapes have blossomed. We know grapes is a reference to the pious people among the Jewish people. The pious people have grown in their good deeds, and Hashem says, the time has come for your redemption. Kumi lach, come. I want to give you the Ten Commandments. That's why the word lach is written with an extra yud. It's written lechi. The extra yud is an allusion to the Ten Commandments. Hateinach hanetaf ageh, the fig has ripened its fruits. That's to say, you don't have those who were tying you down until now. Until now you had people who refused to leave Egypt, the rebellious Jews. They died in the 3 days of darkness. Agifanim simadar natenu reach, the grapes gave a positive smell. That means the Jews that remained did tshuva. The Jews that remained are prepared to go. Okay. And we're up to the next part of the song. The part about the Jewish people have left. And Paro's chasing after them. And they're camping by the sea, and they look ahead, and there's a sea. And they look to the right and left, and Hashem brings wild animals to their sides. And they feel like they can't go to either side. There are wild animals there. And they look back, and they see the Egyptians. And this is similar to a young dove that is flying away from a vulture, and it enters a crevice, a crack in between the rocks. And it looks inside, and the vulture is hovering above, ready to swoop down and eat it. And it looks inside the crevice, and there's a snake that starts hissing towards it. And it doesn't know where to go. So what does it do? It raises its eyes to heaven. It raises its eyes to Hashem. And that's what the Ribon Shel Olam says. Yonati, my dove, b'chagvei ha-sela, in the cracks of the rock. Besetera madrega, you are in the crevices of the step of the mountain. Harini et marayich, show me how beautiful you are. Show me how you turn to me when you have a problem. This is one of the strengths of the Jewish people, that when we have a problem, we daven. It's not easy. It's not always intuitive. Very often when things go bad, our first thought is, let me deal. No, we have to show that we turn to Hashem. We have to deal, but we also have to turn to Hashem. Hashmi'ini et koleich. Let me hear your voice, Hashem says. I want to hear your prayers. Because your voice is beautiful, and it's beautiful to look at you. The Ribon Shel Olam says to the Jewish people, I want to see that when you're in trouble, you turn to me. I want to hear your prayer when things go bad. And so, the Ribon Shel Olam heard our prayers, and the sea split. We went through the split sea. And then the Egyptians came into the split sea. And the Ribbono Shel Olam told the sea, come crashing down on the Egyptians. And it did. And it caught the Egyptians, including their kids who had come along for the show. And the declaration from heaven was, Echezulanu shualim, you the sea, grab those foxes. Shualim kitanim, mechabelim kiramim. Take down the small foxes as well, because the minors, the young ones, were also partners in mechablim kiramim, in destroying the Jewish vineyard. When a Jewish baby would be born, the young Egyptians would come and try to sweet talk around the house and ask the kid, where are you? Why don't you reveal to me where you are? And then they'd find the baby, the child, and they'd give him over to be killed by the Egyptians. And so Hashem said, when Hashem makes the sea come crashing down, the minors are swept with the sea together with the adults. Why are they called foxes? Because when the water came crashing down, the Egyptians were looking over their shoulder saying, let's get out of here. And that's the trait of a fox, that a fox always looks over its shoulder. Our vineyard was still young when these young Egyptians would grab whatever kids they could get and toss them into the Nile and murder Jewish children. Okay, and with that we have reached the pasuk Dodi Livani Lo. Dodi Livani Lo. Hashem gave all his mitzvos to me. He didn't say the Jewish people have these mitzvos, let's go to another nation and tell them to do a different mitzvah. No, Hashem gave all his mitzvos to us. And we turn to Hashem with anything that we need. Hashem took us to graze in places that the roses can grow, where things are pleasant and things are sweet. I was dedicated to Hashem. Hashem was dedicated to me until the day swept by. Vinasu atzilalim, until the heat of the day came in and there were no more shadows. We transgressed with the golden calf. We transgressed with the spies. And suddenly there was no shade for us to hide in. The sun came beating down. And that's a reference to the state the Jewish people attained, where they refused to accept Hashem as the one who they were supposed to be faithful to. So, the Melech Adodi Litzvi, and so our beloved turned around, and again he became like a swift deer. Or like a young goat who ran across those mountains that now represented the great divide between Hashem and us, as Hashem distanced himself from us and punished us with 40 years in the desert, 40 years of separation, where the Jewish people would feel that Hashem is not as close to them as he had been before. And that leads us into the next section, the longing of the Jewish people to reconnect to Hashem. And that's what we will begin with, Bezat Hashem, in a few moments.